I want to talk to you this evening on the topic, it's never too late. Tonight we heard what I consider heroic expressions of truth. Not abstract expressions of truth, heroic expressions of truth, because they are expressions of truth that reveal a person's experience. It's not a 2 + 2 = 4 kind of truth. It's not an earth is round kind of truth. It's I was in a place that I don't necessarily care to remember, to recount, to recall, but if it's going to help somebody to come out of that place, if it's going to give someone a reason to hope, then I'm going to tell a truth about my life that I would rather have never happened. I remember when God first began to draw me into a life of obedience. And I looked at where I was, sort of like that story of the wasteful son who found himself coming to his senses, and the first thing he realized was that he was in a pig's pen. And I remember a time in my life where I began to realize what I had done, the places where I had gone. And I recognized where I was at that moment. And I thought to myself, it seems to me that things are about to change. I feel like I am ready to answer the call of God and to turn away from my own activities and my own thoughts and my own plans. And I thought, if that's the case, when I do come to a better kind of life, because at that stage I had been living in the streets of New York for close to 40 months. And I thought to myself, this is a time in my life that if I come out of it, I will never, ever speak of it again. I will act as though it never happened because I don't want to recall it. I don't want to recount it. I don't want to remember it. It was a painful time and an embarrassing time. A shameful time from my perspective. And I thought to myself, if I ever get my life right, if things ever go the way that I hope that they will go, this is going to be a sealed chapter in my life. It will never make it into the testimony of God's workings in my experience. Because I didn't at that stage see God in it. I saw my rebellion in it, and I saw my own misguided plans in it, and I saw my sin in it, and I saw my failure in it, and I saw my shame in it. I saw myself in a pig's pen, and in that pig's pen, I couldn't see God. Now, you know, there is a book in the Bible that almost didn't make it in. And the reason that it almost didn't make it in is because it seems like God is not in it. It's the book of Esther. The word God never appears in it. The voice of God is never heard in it. And so when people began to officially designate the books of the Bible, they had come to the conclusion that this is a part of history that needs to, in essence, be erased from history as though it never happened, because God was not apparently there. And that's the way I felt about my life. I felt like if ever anybody asked me about my situation, I could say to them probably what Esther could have said. I was raised in a situation where people talked about God, and raised in a situation where people went to the house of the Lord, at least periodically, at least occasionally on Christmas and Easter and that kind of thing. The same way people would have gone up into the house of the Lord in Esther's childhood. But at a certain point, because the community of God and because her family began to move away from the Lord, she found herself a stranger in a strange land, found herself an orphan, found herself without a community, found herself without an identity, found herself not too long after that in a situation that was so foreign from how she was raised that even her name was changed from Hadassah to Esther. Her entire identity was changed. And you can imagine that at a certain point, she probably figured that she would never find her way back to who she was. I was in that same kind of a situation. I was so far from the way that I was raised. I had moved so far into my own way, doing my own thing, that in essence, I had developed an entirely new character, an entirely new identity. And it came to my mind that I would never find my way back home. I would never be what I knew I was supposed to be. So the shame that came with that overwhelmed me. Got to a point where I realized that I was so distant from who I was supposed to be that if ever, ever I got my life back together. In those days, I didn't understand what that entailed, but I just thought to myself, I would never, ever remember these days. Never remember the days that I was roaming in the streets of New York City. Never remember the days when I would sleep in the park. Never remember the days when I would sleep on the train. Never remember the days when people didn't want to say hi to me. People didn't want to sit next to me. People didn't want to engage me. Never remember those days. Never speak of them again. But you know, there are times when God will send people into your life. In Esther's case, it was a man named Mordecai. He was a relative of hers. And he came to her and he reminded her of who she was, reminded her of the fact that she would be given an opportunity to have an impact. He basically said to her, you are coming into a time in your life. And he said to her, the time that you're coming into is the time, ultimately, that the Lord has destined for you. He said that the time that you're about to enter into is a very serious time. Now, she could have said, where I am is where I'm going to be. And she could have said that I'm doing okay now. I'm feeling a little bit better about myself. At a certain point, she's an orphan. Now she's a queen. And she could have said at a certain point, the same way any of us could have said, any person who gave testimony could have said, I'm doing a whole lot better now. I don't really have to expose myself to danger or expose myself to ridicule or expose myself to shame. I have moved from point A to point B. Let's just leave the rest alone. But you know, there comes a time when you realize that you have to make yourself vulnerable and you have to open your heart and you have to open your testimony and you have to say what you have to say and do what you have to do, because there are people who are depending upon you. Now, here's what Mordecai did. And this is what people did in my life in those days when I first started to come to the Lord and I first began to realize that my life was different and that I was in a better case and that I was beginning to see success and I was beginning to feel good about myself. And I felt like hoarding my past and holding it in and not telling anybody about where I've been. And people began to, in essence, speak into my life and began to say, in essence, to me, what I'm saying to you this evening. And I'm speaking to two people tonight. I'm speaking to the person who's got a testimony, but you've been hiding it. You've been kind of bottling it in. And I'm also speaking to that person who's not yet come into the house of the Lord. And I'm going to say the same thing to both. What Mordecai said to Esther was, I know where you are, and I understand the danger, and I understand the fear element, and I understand the shame that's involved. But I'm here to tell you that it's not too late to believe that God has a call on your life. It's not too late to believe that God has a purpose for your life. Whether you are that orphan child who is far away from home, or whether you are someone who has found success in Babylon, it is never too late to begin to believe that God has a call upon your life, that there is a purpose to your life. Mordecai said to Esther, how do you know that you are not here for such a time as this? How do you know that God is not going to use you to save men and women? How do you know that God is not going to use you to change the trajectory of this time? How do you know that God is not going to use you to save the lives of many men and women? Esther had to be reminded that she is here for a purpose, that she has a call upon her life. He came to her and he told her that you are here with reason. And so she began to believe that she could pray, and that if she prayed, God would hear her. And if she prayed, God would use her. If she prayed, she would begin to be reminded of who she was. If she prayed, it wouldn't matter what anybody else called her. It wouldn't matter if the king of Babylon tried to change her name. It wouldn't matter whether she was suffering poverty or whether she was crowned with a tiara, none of those things would have mattered to her. If she began to pray, the clouds would begin to dissipate, and the sun would begin to shine through, and she would remember her heritage. She would remember what she heard. She would remember what she was taught. She would remember that her entire life experience, everything that she experienced up until that moment, God could use. God could use to bless his name. God could use to serve humankind. God could use to make a difference. So she got together with a few people. A few people who chose to believe. A few people who chose to fast and to pray. A few people who chose to expect that God could still use them. No matter what the difficulty, no matter what the circumstance, just like you're here tonight. Whether you are already walking with the Lord and just need a push to bear witness to what he's doing in your life and to bring forth testimony, or whether you walked into this house tonight not knowing Jesus, but knowing you could find a few people that would get together with you and to pray and to believe and to hope that God could do exactly what he said he would do in your life. You know that your name is different than the name that the king of Babylon has given you. You know that you have a different purpose in your life than what the king of Babylon has given you. You know, because you have the experience on some level or another. It might not be as obvious as we would like. Just like the name God and the voice of God was not so obvious in the text of Esther. Yet if you read that book, you know God is all over that book. God is all through that book. It's not too late to believe that there is a purpose on your life. It's not too late to begin to pray. It's not too late to upset the plans of the devil. There was a man there who decided that he was going to kill Esther and all of her people. Just like there is a devil who has decided he is going to destroy the purpose of God in your life. But it is never too late to upset the plans of Haman. It is never too late to say to the devil, you don't have the right to speak over my life. It is never too late to take a stand and say to Satan, no more. It is never too late to say to the devil, this far and no farther. It is never too late, never too late, never too late to say to the devil, you cannot shut my mouth. It is never too late to say to the devil, you cannot close my book. It is never too late to say to the devil, I am not ashamed of this gospel. I am not ashamed to preach this message. I am not ashamed of my testimony. I am not ashamed of my story. It is never too late to take a stand for Jesus. Never too late to tell your story. Never too late to edit your story. To say, I will not let my story end here. There is more to my life. There is more to what God wants to do. And when God does what he does, I'm going to tell the whole story. Hallelujah. I ain't holding nothing back. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell it all. Because somebody needs to hear it. Somebody's going to be blessed by it. See, they said, we're not going to let Esther in because we don't see enough God there. But God said, no. God said, I don't care if y'all like the story or not. That story gets in the book. Hallelujah. That story gets in the book. And everybody in here, God is saying, I don't care what anybody is saying to you. Your story gets in the book. I don't care what your own heart is saying to you. Your story gets in the book. I don't care what the devil is trying to say to you. Your story gets in the book. I don't care what guilt and shame is trying to say to you. Your story gets in the book. But it's up to you now. It's up to you to say, there's a page there. And my story should be written there. It's never too late to trust Jesus and say, I want my name written in the book of life. I want my story to be told. Yes, it has some hard parts in it. It has some sad parts in it and some parts that I wish I could just erase from it. But I want my story and I want my whole story to be in that book. Hallelujah. If God is speaking to you tonight, we're going to pray. And I want two people to come up here, two kinds of people, two categories of men and women to come up here. Firstly, if you're saying, somewhere along the line, somebody lied to me and said to me, there's no place for you in the house of God, that there's no place for you in the book of life, that your story is one that God is ashamed of, I'm telling you, it's a lie. If you want to believe the story that matters most, and that is the story of Jesus Christ, the one who lived and died and rose again, and you want to believe his story, that he died for your sins so that you never have to, and you want to put your faith in him, you want to know that he loves you, and you want to know that your story is based upon his story. That if you believe his story, then you rewrite your story. He rewrites your story. You edit your story, and you say, my story ain't ending here. There is more to it. If you want to put your faith in the Lord Jesus, then I'm going to ask you to come here. But also, if you're saying, Brother Will, I know I should be testifying on my job. I should be testifying in school. I should be testifying here in church. I should be testifying in my neighborhood. I should be testifying to my family. But there are things in my story that I just don't want to talk about. Things that happened to me in my life that I told myself I would never tell anyone. But you know you have to, because you're going to be used of the Lord to save lives. Then I'm going to ask you to come up here too in just a moment. First, I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to ask God to speak to us. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't do any of this on our own. Lord, those who are lost are afraid. Many have trusted many people and been let down, and it's a little bit hard sometimes to trust. We're asking you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to simply break down the barriers. Even now, as we're praying, you're beginning to write a new story. You're beginning to write new chapters to the story. Lord Jesus, we're asking you, would you write, even as we pray, new chapters to this story, Lord, so that men and women can say, my life's not over. It's just beginning. God has given me a new life. And he's going to help me to help people. But tonight, I'm just going to come to him and say, Lord, help me. And then, Lord, those people who are saying, I have a story. I do. It's just that the pain is so great and the shame is so great. And I just haven't been able to tell anyone. But sometimes those stories, because they're not being told, sometimes they are eating us from the inside out. They cause us to do things that we don't want to do and go places we know we ought not to go. Lord, we're not going to hide from our story anymore. We're going to tell our story. We're not going to be ashamed. We're going to ask you to take us by our hand and help us to help someone by being honest and open, by being vulnerable. Spirit of Jesus, we're simply asking you to be glorified tonight in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together in the house of the Lord Jesus Christ. If God is speaking to you and you fit into either of these categories, you're saying, I just want to add my story to the story of Christ, or I just want Jesus to help me to tell my story, then would you come to the front of this auditorium? We're going to pray together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to believe him to do wonderful things in Jesus' holy name. Just join those who are coming as we sing a song or two in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Jesus, we thank you tonight. Lord, firstly, I thank you for those who are coming to you for the first time, or those who are coming back to you after having been raised in you and having been to Babylon, if you will, and who are saying, I'm coming home. Lord, my prayer is that no matter how difficult the story, that each one recognizes that it's never too late. It's never too late to pray, never too late to believe, never too late to cling to Christ's story. Never too late to love Jesus for what he's done, to worship God, to embrace his story, to know that he died for us. That he so loved us that he laid his life down for us. And because death had no right to him, he never committed a sin, never had an evil thought, never did an evil deed. Death had no right to him. So he rose again, but not alone. He brought us with him. Hallelujah. To be seated in heavenly places with him. Hallelujah. And we simply embrace his story. And we tell our story, because our story talks about what he's done for us, what he saved us from, how he's freed us, how he's helped us when we had no other help. And I also pray, Lord, for my brothers and sisters who are saying, you know, my story has been so difficult. Things have happened to me and I haven't even told my husband or my wife. Things have happened to me. I haven't even told my friends or my neighbors. Things have happened to me and I haven't told anybody. I've done things that I've never told anyone. And it's been eating me up inside, because it hasn't been flowing outward. It's been festering inward, and it's been causing me to go places I shouldn't go and do things I shouldn't do. And God, in the name of Jesus, I come against that now. And I'm going to tell my story. And God is going to use those difficult days to save men and women's lives, to give men and women hope, to cause men and women to believe, Lord, there's somebody who's going to be touched by a story that's up until now been held within. Somebody's going to be healed. Somebody is going to be freed because someone in this room decides to tell their story, to tell the whole story, and to say, I'm not going to be ashamed of this gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Lord, we come against the lie of the devil that says that there is a part of your life that needs to be expunged, that needs to be erased from the testimony of God, because there's not enough God in it. There's not enough good in it. There's not enough life. No, no, no. We come against that in Jesus' name. And we say, God, sometimes we can't see you in it, but we know that you're God over it. And we are going to tell the story so that somebody can be saved, that some life can be changed. Lord, we thank you for this. We bless you for it. And we believe you for it. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.